For those who don't know, my name is Shannon Panthin. I am your lead pastor.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
And this is my wife, Dawn. She is your co-pastor. She's my cheerleader. She's the one that brings the life. Early in the morning.
That is true.
She's like this at 3 o'clock in the morning. She's like this at 11 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 6 a.m. She is just like this.
He says sometimes, he's like, hang on, honey, my face is right here. Shh. I'm like, this but I'm excited about something.
This is kind of like when we're laying there and we're reflecting on our day and she gets excited about something and she'll be like, honey. And I'm like, okay, I'm right here.
There's a reason why I don't drink coffee every morning, I think. Okay.
And then we have an administrative pastor. Her name is Borgie. She's the one that's going to make sure that all the bits and pieces in the administrative side of the church gets done. Like bills gets paid. Right? That's an important thing. She's going to be primarily responsible to make sure that everything that gels this network of people and church functions get done. Amen?
Amen.
And now I'm going to ask all the church leaders and, well, elders and deacons to stand up. And have your spouse stand up too, because they need to know.
Woohoo!
All right. Remain standing. I'll start in the back. All the way in the back. You guys can turn around and look at the back. His name is Gary Barnes. And this is his wife, Kathleen Barnes, right here. And right on this side, we have Doug Beaver.
Woohoo!
And his lovely wife, Cheryl Beaver. And right here in the back, we got the Whittons, John Whitten.
Woohoo!
And Lori Whitten. I feel like I'm announcing like a team, you know, like a... Well, we are a team.
That's right. That's right.
And right here we have the star. We got Richard and Tammy Star.
Woohoo!
And last but not least, we got the Olsen. Peter and Jessica Olsen. Huh? Where's Glenn?
Is he hiding?
Glenn is right here. Oh, you gotta stand up.
Oh, he's hiding.
See, if you don't stand up, I'm gonna miss you.
There we go. Thank you, Glenn.
They are, you may be seated. They are our leadership team. Our very first level of leadership team. They are here to support you. We are all here as a team to serve you. We are here to serve. We are here to serve you, and we are here to serve our community of Kodiak. Amen. That's what we are about. So whenever you're going through anything in life, you need to let us know. In the back, we're going to have prayer request cards. We pray over this every Monday and throughout the week. You write down your prayer request and you put it in that box right there. Gary, could you point to that box? That is a very important box. Right there, right in the back. To your right, you're going to see a box. He's pointing to it right there. Right there. That's it. He's got a cross on it. It's a wooden box that was made by
Carl Smith.
Carl Smith. Everybody knows Carl Smith here. Carl Smith is the one who made that box, so that's his remembrance of him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where you're going to put not only your connect card, is what we call that, a connect card. A connect card is when you fill out your name, your address, your phone number. This is what we're going to call you at 2 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to call you at 2 o'clock in the morning. We just want to stay in touch. Mm-hmm. We want to stay connected as a family. A family cannot be a family if they're not connected. So we got to be connected. And if you're here for the very first time and you've never filled out a card, now is your chance to do it. Not right now, later on. I don't want you to leave right now. Stay put.
If you have prayer requests, and just so you know, Pastor and I are the only ones who see that. So it's not something that we broadcast. If there's some vulnerable, personal things going on, no one else sees those. Unless you say, please tell everyone to pray for me. Other than that, a lot of you share some personal stuff. No one else sees those except for Shannon and I. So.
Amen. That's it.
All right. So did you want to touch on tithe?
I'm about to talk about the box again.
How Bill Welsh asked us to 7797.
Now that we are blending in two families, in a season that we're in right now, we want to make life less complicated. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We don't need to add any more complication to what we're dealing with right now. This is a very complex joining of two families. We don't need to add to it. So in terms of tithes and offering, with the blessing of the two bishops that we've talked and we've got the blessing of our elders as well, this is the way we're going to move forward in this transitional time. We're going to filter everything through this. On your phone, everybody carries a smartphone, right? Everybody has a smartphone these days. Except for Jake.
Except for Jake Pydeck.
Except for Jake. Nobody looks at Jake. Jake is right here.
Don't text him.
Yeah.
he gets it next
year. Everybody has a smartphone. On this smartphone, you can download the app. The app, you can get it through here, just through the app store, any app store that you choose. You can look for Oceans Church and download the app. On that app, you would be able to give online, or you can text. To give. You want to talk a little bit about
77977. You just follow the prompts. A lot of you have already had it set up, but just text, like you're texting someone, put 77977 in the text area. Then whenever you get to the part where you're typing something, just put Oceans AK, and then you'll follow prompts and it'll set up. It's just a one-time thing where you set up your credit card or however you want to pay that, and then you don't have to do that. It takes 30 seconds beyond that. Make sure that whenever you do it, you see the regular Oceans with the O with the wave on it. Make sure you see that logo when you're giving, which should take you there when you do Oceans AK.
Right. If you're doing tithe with checks that you want to write today, you can do that and you put it to Oceans Church, same thing. Or you can put it in the back of that box there. You can just drop it in there. Name and everything on there, fill it out, and then just drop it in there.
Because all the bills will be paid. Like, we will be paying all the bills through that account until there's one
until
combined account.
Until we actually get everything on that side taken care of.
Yeah.
So everybody's clear on that, right? Yes? Absolutely. Okay, good.
All right. Next. Did you want to stay or go?
Yes. Please. You can go back.
Okay.
Thank you.
They can sit down. Thank you,
thank
team.
You.
Thank you,
team.
Worship team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
Amazing
you.
Amazing job.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
Easter Sunday. Everybody say Easter. Easter Sunday. Look around the room. Just look around. Look around. Okay. We're going to put some extra chairs. We're going to be nice and snuggly on Easter. We'll have extra kids for kids church, but it's two Sundays. We've got next Sunday, and then the following Sunday is Easter.
Yeah.
So we have some things that we want you to do. We'd like for you to bring some candy. We're going to have probably around like 6,000 probably plus or so eggs. We need you to bring some serious candy or coins, or if you go to the bank and get like $20 or $10 worth of coins, and then just bring a Ziploc bag of coins, stick it in over there by the kids' check-in table is the tub for candy, but you can do coins as well. Bring it by next week if you could. If you could bring it by next Sunday, all the coins, all the candy by when?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, because...
We
that week,
we're going to
have an Easter egg filling party. Not this kind of week, but after you guys turn in all of it. So good candy or coins by next week so that we'll be able to fill them up. Also, you're going to see an event on Facebook, the Easter event that we will be holding. Share it. You know, invite your friends. A lot of people would not come to service normally, but they'll come to Easter. I love hearing how salvations have happened. A personal relationship with the Lord starts in Easter, so don't ever underestimate the power of an Easter service. Eternities are changed on Easter services. Right. So when you see the event, that's going to be our big push, is the marketing online with social media on Instagram and Facebook. Share the event once you see it, and spread the word that way as well. What else? We have some coming up dates we want you to take a peek at. Kids Rock is every Wednesday. This is the last month for that. How many of you have ever been to Kids Rock? How many of you have sent your children to Kids Rock? Okay. Y'all need to come. This is the last month. It's so fun. My kids went for the very first time last week. And it's 5 years old to 12 years old, right? 5 years old to 12 years old. And when they went to bed, they're like, when is that again? It was, they really, really had a great time. And guess what? They feed you. They feed you dinner. So come on out for that, 6 to 8. Also, this coming up Thursday, say this Thursday.
This Thursday.
This Thursday, we have something called Speed Connect. It's kind of like speed dating. Have you ever heard of speed dating before?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Uh-oh. Someone's like, I have. I won't say who that was just now who did that. Doug Beaver and Sarah Stearns had talked to us about this great idea. They had been connected with a church body, and they had like an influx of 60-some people overnight with the church that had ended up closing down. And anyway, they're like, hey, we want to get to know our new friends, our new brothers and sisters. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's us. That's us. We want to get to know our new brothers and sisters. What we're going to do this Thursday at 6:30, we're going to have kind of like a Speed Connect setup where we're going to sit and just have like 3 minutes, and it'll be furnished questions just to get to know your brothers and sisters a little bit better. Does that sound like fun?
Like 3 questions.
Yeah, it'll be furnished questions. So those of you that have a little bit of anxiety in social situations, you don't have to come up with the questions yourself. We will have the questions furnished for you. So you'll sit there and you'll ask those questions. And it's not going to be like super personal, digging into, you know, the cobwebs and the shadows. And we're not doing that. It's just getting to know your new family members, getting to know your new brothers and sisters. So please come on out. We'll have some movies for the kids, but we encourage the kids to participate as well. We want the kids to get to know their new brothers and sisters. So kids are more than welcome to come participate in it. Little ones can sit on your lap if they want, but we'll also have some kids' movies for those that just have no interest in it. But come on out, 6:30. It's going to be so much fun. You're going to get to know some really, really unique, beautiful things with your new brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Lastly is Life Groups Friday night. Doug Beaver, the one who just stood up, he's one of the elders. He does Life Groups on Friday nights. And at his house, please come on out. I think it's every.
You can connect with him after church and
get his
ask
address.
Him about this, get his address and everything, and be able to do that. And you also have a live group on Friday.
Sunday nights.
Sunday nights.
Sunday nights.
Okay, that's also another one that we can actually talk.
Starts at 6:30. And I believe y'all meet up in the war room, the prayer room, war room. I like to call it the war room. Is that okay?
War room/prayer room.
So that's also Sunday nights. Women's groups and men's groups will probably be announcing next week for women's
week
and men's groups. So, all right. We have a very special announcement that we'd like to tell you next week. I know.
Yes.
You are not going to want to miss next week. Okay. It's a very special announcement.
You have to be here next week. Okay.
You
it's
don't want to miss
it. It's going to be very important.
Has something to do with our... Oh, should we not say
it? No, don't say it.
Okay.
Don't say
it. Has something to do with our... Okay, say we need your help. So we'd like to do a short little video in preparation for that we want to show next week. We need y'all's help. If you would like to be in the video, it'll be like 5 seconds, each little person like 5 seconds tops. If you'd say, hey, I'd like to be in that video, would you text us or contact us or let us know after service or text us whenever and say, hey, I'll be in the video, and then I'll give you further directions for those of you that want to be in the video. 5 seconds tops. We're not going to do anything super deep. Cool? Okay, don't miss next Sunday.
You don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it. It's going to be good. All right, so Tidal Wave and Anchor Youth. So that would be ages 8 on up to 18. Miss Amy and myself are going to be teaching you. So if you are an Anchor Youth or Tidal Wave ages 8 and on up, You may go to your classes now.
Hey. All right, I'm going to rearrange a little bit. I'll get here. I've been given, listen to this, guys, I've been given a little map of where I can walk. I cannot go beyond this. Bogey, if I go beyond this, you... And I cannot go beyond here. So, Jessica, you're going to have to hold, like, stop. Don't move. All right, where's my notes? Oh, gotta get my notes. Okay, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15. Let's get excited about the Word of God. Amen. Chapter 15, I've got a good word today. Welcome home. Welcome home. I need to get this, so I'm going to run this way. And you guys are wondering, what is he doing? No, I'm not going to get change. Oh, yeah, thank you, Peter. There. So, I've got a robe, I've got sandals, and I've got a ring. I've got a robe, I've got sandals, and I've got a ring. Everybody's there, Luke? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now found. Welcome home. That's the way the father responded to his son coming home. Question, can the father say welcome to someone who never left home? Can the father say welcome home to someone who did not leave? Yes. Yes. One can be at home. One can be at home and not submitted to the father's authority. One can still be at home and not fully yielded to the Father. One can be in church and yet not fully yielded to what the church is about. One can be at home and yet bound by the enemy. Just ask the elder brother. He never left. He was at home. But yet again, he was bound by the enemy. When most of us think about the prodigal son, guess what we immediately think? About the son who left home. About the son who actually left home. He has a shocking statement. One can be prodigal and still be at home. One can lead a life of prodigal living and still be at home. You don't have to leave home to be prodigal. Because the word prodigal simply means this. Unrestrained. unrestrained, living at home and yet not fully submitted to the Father. Unrestrained areas could be many things at home. Could be jealousy. Could be pride. Could be unforgiveness. Could be the unwillingness to submit to authority, to what the Father says, to His will, to His plan, to His purpose. If we resist that, we're putting some restraint upon what we're called to do. So prodigal living does not mean that you have to leave home. You can be a prodigal and still be at home. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going somewhere. Now I want you to read this story with me. Further down when, in verse 11 now, it says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. He's saying, give me my inheritance, I'm out of here. You know, back in the Jewish culture, when a son approaches the dad and asks the dad for the inheritance before it's time, you know what the son, the message that the son is sending? Dad, I wish you were dead. Now that's shocking. In the Jewish culture, that's what it really means if a son will go before it's time to ask for the inheritance. Father, I wish you were dead. But this is how the father responded. He divided them, to them, his livelihood. He just gave it away. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he journeyed to a far country. And there he wasted everything he had with prodigal living. He wasted every bit of inheritance that his father gave to him by living in an unrestrained life. Prodigal living can be very subtle. Can navigate under the radar, undetected. It's what's happening in the back, in the shadows, where nobody else knows what is going on. Because jealousy or rebellion doesn't just come out. Sometimes it could be something that is inside that is not visible on the outside. In fact, that's where it starts. It starts there in the deep rooted parts of your heart, hidden from everybody else. Because this son, the young son that went and asked for the inheritance, he planned this journey a long, long, long time ago. It wasn't just a spur of the moment when he decided just like, you know what, I'm just going to go and approach dad and say, Dad, give me my stuff and let me go. He thought about this process for a long, long time. Until he built enough courage. I wouldn't call that courage. Until he built enough resentment towards his father. Towards the household name that he carried. Towards its authority that he had as a son under the roof of his father. He decided he did not want to be part of this house. So he picked up everything that he had and he bailed out. I'm being hard on that guy. Jealousy and unforgiveness was there. He was probably jealous of his elder brother, who had the right to everything. In fact, 2/3, according to the Jewish culture, 2/3 will go to the elder son. probably jealous of him, jealous of the fact that the elder son was very obedient to the father, did everything that the father asked. He was jealous of that. He had arrogance and pride inside of him, maybe towards his name, towards his friends. Because his name, we're talking about a family that was very well positioned. A family that had a name that was reputable. So he used that name when he built for himself jealousy and pride because of who he thought he was. Rebellion and a critical spirit. Dad, you're getting old. You're getting senile. You probably don't even know how to manage the estate. Let me show you how it should be done. He probably had all of these stuff that were hidden in the dark part of his heart where nobody else could actually see. Prodigal living is very subtle. Very subtle. Undetected. Undetected. Somebody can be in at home and be a prodigal. Wow, that's kind of hard on the very first Sunday, okay? This is supposed to be welcome home. I believe if we don't start right, we will fail. Amen. If we don't shake things, we will not set the right standard. Amen. We will compromise. We cannot compromise the Word of God. We cannot compromise what this word stands for. So we're starting with the welcoming home on the right foot. Setting certain standard that we must uphold as a church. As a church, we must stand on the uncompromising word of God. That transcends everything that we know. Culture. We can set the trend if we hold the word of God to its highest value in our life, in the way we conduct business. Lord, we don't want business as usual for this church. We want you to do a new thing. Doing a new thing requires you and me to step to a new level. A new level in our walk with God, in a new level in what we do behind closed doors. Because we can replicate what we do behind closed doors and hide a few things because we are in church, so we don't want to be so open. But guess what? The prodigal son, the father knew exactly what was going on in his heart. Have you ever thought about this? Why did the father not stop him? I'm a father. If my son is about to do something stupid, fathers know this, okay? If you're a father here, you would know what I'm talking about. If you're watching your son, he's about to do something dumb, you stop him. The father here knew exactly what the son was about to do. Why did he let him go and do this? The father was after a relationship with his son. He did not want to stand in the way because of who he was. He wanted the son to come to him because he is the father. That submission to the father, his authority, under his roof, being under his covering. As a father. So when I spoke earlier today, I said, there's a spot where you stand, and that spot has Jesus' blood on it because it was bought by Jesus himself. You stand on that spot and you don't move until God tells you otherwise. That's being planted where God has called you. This son did not want to be planted. He wanted somewhere else. He saw Vegas. He saw the life of Vegas. And he was like, this is it. gave me the inheritance so that I may go. Prodigal living began at home. But the second part about the prodigal living is this. The father did not stop loving his son. The son took everything that was available for him, that was his rightful inheritance. He took it and he bailed. But yet again, the love of the father did not diminish. Stayed the same. Stayed exactly the same. In fact, from the moment the son left home, he was waiting in anticipation for the son to come home. He was just waiting. It's like, today might be the day that he comes home. And he wake up the next day. Today might be the day that my son will come home. He did this for months. Day after day, he will go by the window and he will look in anticipation of his son. Could it be the day that he would actually come back home? If that was my son, that's exactly what I would be doing. I'll be right there by the window. Is he coming home? Is he coming home today? Is he coming home? But there came a time where he did. There came a time where the son finally came to his senses and came home. And that's what I want to zone in on. In verse 20, and he, the son, arose and came to his father. He decided, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going back home. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. The very first thing that the father had was compassion. Compassion will cause the father to leave the comfort zone and go after the one who's coming back home. Compassion will cause you and me to reach out and bring in the loss. Compassion will make you go and grab somebody out of a pit and tell them about Jesus. That's the way the father responded when he saw his son coming back home. He had compassion and he didn't just stop there. Guess what he did? He ran. He ran after his son and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, like we've all said before, when we've run back home to the father, when we've messed up in the back corner where nobody else sees that we've messed up, when we've messed up and we've come back home, that's exactly how the father responded. And our response ourselves was probably this: Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. In your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. You know, when we say this to the Father, I am no longer worthy. This is what we sing. The price that you paid for me, I want you to hear this because this, I want this to sink in. If you ever said this, I am not worthy. This is what you sing to the Father. The price that you paid for me is not worth it. The price that you paid for me for the redemptive value of sending your son to die for me wasn't worth it. You are worthy. You are worthy. That spot where you stood says so. It is the blood of Jesus that says so. You are worthy. You are worthy. because of the price that was paid by Jesus. So don't you ever say, I am not worthy. Because Jesus paid a price that made you so, that made you worthy. He will stop the whole world just for you. He will stop everything because of the price that he paid for you. While you were yet a sinner, in your mess, he paid the price. Jesus did not wait until you were in a church for him to say that he paid the price. He paid the price long before you knew him. Long before he knew me. Oh, I knew him. He knew me. He knew you before you were born. Long before he paid the price, he called you by name and he said, you are mine. The Father reached out with grace, with compassion, and with love. The Father didn't just stop there and running after his son. He did something very unique, something very different, that to this day baffles everybody of what he did. He didn't just run after his son, hug him, gave him a kiss, and just said, welcome home. He didn't. He took this welcome home a step further. He took that a step further. And this is what he does for you and for me. He doesn't just come and hug us and make us just feel good. He restores. Did you catch it on this side? He restores. He makes all things new again. I'm going to tell you what restoration means. When we're talking about restoration, according to the world standard, when you restore something, you bring it back to its what? Original value, right? The original state that it was. But when God restores, he doesn't just bring it to its original value. He brings it to a higher level of restoration, where the value after the restoration will supersede its original value. You are restored sevenfold after you're fully restored by the Father. That's full restoration. This is what the dad did. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe. Bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. Kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he is found. Welcome home, son. I am not just stopping there, but I'm restoring you in the process of you coming home. This is what Jesus does when you come home. When you're coming home, he puts on the robe of his righteousness on you. He puts you in right standing with him because he knows that your clothes are ugly, are filthy. They look like rags. He said, you are my son, and if I'm restoring you, you better put this on first. There's a reason why the father put on the robe first. Because the worst thing when you come home is to feel like you don't belong because of your filth. Because where you've been, you've been in a pig's pen and you stink. So the very first thing the Father would do when you come home is to clothe you with His righteousness. So that you can stand and say, I am standing today, not on my own filthy rags. I'm standing clothed fully in the righteousness of God. It was paid for me. I am worthy. I am worthy because I am clothed with His righteousness. Today you are clothed not in your own righteousness because they are filthy rags. They stink. You've been in a pig pen. But when you put this on and you leave that on, guess what? You smell like Jesus. So you don't leave your house without this on. Don't ever be caught by the enemy without your robe of righteousness. Don't ever let the enemy challenge you and say, you are not worthy. You can say, hey, guess what? I'm beautifully clothed. I'm clothed in the righteousness of God. I stand firm on this spot that was paid for by the blood of Jesus. And I'm clothed today with His righteousness. And the Father didn't stop there. The next thing He did, He took a ring. He took a ring. The ring symbolizes authority. The family signet. Back in those days, there was no credit card. Right? Everybody agree on that? There was no credit card. When you've got the family signet that has the emblem on it, you can go to any store. Because the authority of that name was on that ring. So when God restores, guess what He does? He put this ring on your finger. He restores the name that was stolen away from you. And He gives you the name that is above all other names. That at the mention of His name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. So when God restores you, He doesn't just stop at the robe of righteousness, but He gives you His name that you bear on your fingers. And you would walk around proudly knowing Jesus is with me. I carry His name. I've got His signet on my hand. And then the last thing He did is this. He said, bring on some sandals and put them on my son's feet. Do you know what the son said when he was coming back home, when he came to his senses? Let me just go back home. At least there's enough food at home. I can just be a slave for my father. The father did not want a slave. He wanted his son back. Sandals symbolizes sonship. He's restoring his son back home. He didn't just restore him with righteousness. He didn't just give him his name. He said, son, you're wearing the sandals of sonship. You coming in with these on. You're not a slave. Back in those days, slaves do not wear sandals. The son was happy to be a slave. But when the father restores, he restores you as a king. He restores you as a queen. He restores you as a priest because you are all of the above. That's the way that God restores. God is going to restore you to a new level. And I'm speaking this prophetically. not only for us as a church body, but individually. The things that the enemy has stolen from you will be restored. Not in a small measure. Not in a small measure. We're talking about a full restoration where the final stage of that restoration is going to be greater than its original one. Where the enemy is going to come back and pay you sevenfold. Sevenfold return. In your business. In your business. When you lay down your net, you're going to catch sevenfold. Just needed to tell you that. You won't have room enough to contain what God is about to do. Would you please stand? Right where you are, I want you to reflect on what the Holy Spirit has been ministering to your heart. The Holy Spirit can do a much better job than I can. And He's been talking. Throughout this message, the Holy Spirit has been ministering to you. You are not forgotten. You are on the Father's mind all the time. And the Father is saying, time to come home. Time to let go of fear. Because you've been crippled by fear. Crippled by the unknown. Is saying it's time to just put an end to this. Just come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. If that is you today, I don't want you to go home without freedom. I don't want you to go home with that same burden that you've been carrying for a long time. I want you to leave that here. Right here at the altar. The Father is saying, time to come home, son. Time to come home, daughter. Don't carry the burden again. I want you to rest in me. If that is you and you need prayer this morning, I want you to step forward and come and we will pray for you. There is power in prayer. That's where the breakthrough comes, is when you step out boldly and you say, Lord, I've tried many things and I'm not able to cope with things by myself. I need you. I need you. I know I'm your son, I know I'm your daughter, but I struggle with these things. I struggle with doubt, with unbelief, with fear. I want to see a breakthrough now. If that is you and you mean it, I want you to step outside. No one is looking at you. Don't feel embarrassed. This is breakthrough time. This is freedom time. Don't go home the same way you came in. We serve a God that wants to see you healed, delivered, set free. God wants you to serve Him. As we have the elders come and pray, there's still time. Still time. There's no rush.
You stay with her. Shadow you won't light up.
Stay with her right there.
Mountain you won't climb up.
Stay by your wife.
There's no wall you won't kick down.
Something is amazing is happening now, church. I want everybody who needs prayer, that I've received prayer. Don't just go home without receiving prayer for anything that you might need. We got prayer warriors that are going to be praying for you, interceding for you. While they keep praying, I'm going to do a general prayer. You feel free to stay here, or if you must leave, you're fine to leave, but we're going to keep going with worship and prayer. If you must leave, that's fine. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for your word today. Thank you, Lord God, for breakthrough in our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we came here, we experienced you, and we're going to go home changed by you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Amen, church. God bless you, and come back next Sunday. Bring candy.
Shadow, you won't light up.